This winter, keep your home warm and help lower your energy bills with Warmflow, the home heating experts. With an eco-friendly range of high-efficiency oil boilers and Zeno R290 air and ground source heat pumps, Warmflow provides home heating solutions designed to save you money while keeping you cozy, whatever the weather. Trusted for over 50 years, Warmflow delivers heating that works smarter, not harder. For all your home heating needs, visit warmflow.co.uk.
Moncrief on News Talk. The ultimate guide on the hard shoulder.
It is the ultimate guide. This time it's the ultimate guide to Marrakesh. Fionn Davenport, travel journalist and Lonely Planet author, is with us. We are talking Marrakesh. And as always, Fionn, I come with no insight, but a whole load of unbased prejudices. I have this sense of Marrakesh just being tremendously sweaty.
It gets warm in summer, there's no doubt. It's hot. I mean, you're talking, this is the Atlas Mountains. I mean, if you go out of Marrakesh into the Atlas Mountains, it can get quite cool. But if you're down at sea level, yeah.
And is it claustrophobic? And
the Medina. So the Medina, or the old city, the covered old city with the narrow lanes with red terracotta brick walls, etc.
Now you're talking, this is, yeah.
That's, and the romantic idea of an old city in North Africa. That's very much Marrakesh. A 1,000-year-old city that was an important trading point with the caravans that used to traverse all of North Africa. So it really is a trading point. And so its connection to its history is really evident. So the main square is called Jem El Fna, and it's this huge square in the middle of the Medina. And anyone who has been will recognize the description of it. It's chaos. It's organized chaos and noise, and it's wonderful. And that was the old trading place. And it still is to a certain extent today. Now, nowadays, it's very touristy. It's during the day. It's got lots of traders and snake charmers and all kinds. And at night, it turns into like music and the same snake charmers and restaurants.
Literal snake charmers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's a kind of a nasty business, really, because, you'd feel for the animals now, because the snakes often have their mouths sewn shut. And then they also have they live miserable short lives. Not that one necessarily has this huge kind of grow for like the snake, but at the same time. Then they have these macaques, monkeys, you know, and the Barbie macaques, they're all tied up with ropes so they can't get away. It's all, anyway, not to go into a negative tip. Marrakesh is an incredible city. It's wonderful. It's romantic. It's exotic. It's everything you imagine the Medina to be. And oddly enough, Casablanca, the film, was, if you've seen Casablanca, you know, the markets, etc., etc. The spirit of it is Marrakesh, but the makers of Casablanca knew that they could never sell a film called Marrakesh because it was a much more difficult name to pronounce than Casablanca, which is a big city of 3 million people, very cosmopolitan city. And so instead of, so it's called Casablanca, but it's really Marrakesh.
What about the rules of decorum and behaviour in Marrakesh?
So one of the things, and this is true of travelling anywhere where it's a predominantly Muslim country, is the role of women. It can be often harassed, you know, not harassed in a terrible way, but just kind of going, hey, pretty lady, pretty lady. And it's exhausting. And any female friends that I've gone with or who have gone will always remind me that it's harder for them. There's no doubt that you get people coming up to you asking you questions. It is all the time. Now, everybody gets it, but women seem to get it more. One of the things to bear in mind is in the Medina, there's young children constantly following you around, offering to give you directions. Don't resist it, Anton. Do not resist it, because you cannot beat it. Carry change. Just carry change and give them, just let them, and then just give them a bit of change and move on. Makes your life so much easier.
Do they not increase in numbers? Is it not like feeding birds? Does it not attract more when they see that there's change coming?
The problem is that's the economy of the Medina, and that's how it works. Now, it's one of the things to bear in mind is there's safety in numbers. So because the Medina and Marrakesh generally is incredibly popular as a tourist destination, so there are tens, if not, you know, hundreds of thousands of tourists visiting. So, you know, it's not as if like you're out in the middle of nowhere and you don't know how the rules work. The one thing I will say is that if you're getting a taxi, and I, you know, is that it used to be the taxis would never use a meter and they would always like quadruple the fare. Nowadays, again, because of pressures and worry about how the impression it gives the tourist economy, is what they call petit taxi, or the little taxi drivers. They're generally, for the most part, very well behaved, and they will put on the meter if you tell them to. So, sorry. If you're getting at the airport, for instance, one of the best tips I'll give you is that if you are going to stay, is arrange for the place where you're staying, whether it's, you know, a hotel or any of the hostels. Yeah, no, they're not hostels. The name has gone out of my head. It'll B&Bs. Come to me. Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Boutique B&Bs. Hotels.
Yeah, they're
resorts.
They're particularly beautiful. Anyway, is to get them to arrange a taxi to meet you at the airport, and then they'll bring you in.
Talk to me about hotel prices.
It's reasonable. In the summertime, it can get it Riyadhs. Oh, there I got there. The Riyadh. So the Riyadh is a traditional Moroccan house built around a garden courtyard, and so the garden provides cool in the evening. And so you have, and some of these, they range from boutique-y and small and charming to the most elegant properties you will ever stay in your life, and with prices to boot. So you can pay 80 quid a night for a perfectly reasonable Riyadh accommodation, or you could pay 500 euro a night to stay in, say, La Mamounia, which is one of the world's most famous hotels. And I mean, it's so opulent, and there's a sense of the sultanate, you know, and it really is. It can be quite over the top. It's really Yves Saint Laurent ended up, he bought a house and a studio, and that is now a popular garden and museum. It's called Jardin Majorel, and where Yves Saint Laurent went to live. And there is an elegance to Marrakesh as well as the chaos of the Medina. So the two sit side by side.
Judging by the names, is French the lingua franca?
Yeah. French is the lingua franca. English is the tourism language, and everybody will speak a smattering of it. But generally, obviously, they will speak Arabic to each other. But French, again, is, yeah, it's very common. Look, there's a couple of things, like some of the mosque, the Koutoubia Mosque, which is at the edge of the Jemaa el Fna'a, is really quite beautiful. There are old palaces. I'm going to mention one in particular called the Bahia Palace. And so it's built by the Grand Vizier Simusa in the 1860s. So it's not one of the oldest palaces in town, but it actually could be the most luxurious. And it's in the heart of it, it's got this thing called the secret garden, le jardin secret. And it's a restored Islamic garden. And I remember being in Marrakesh one time, and it's explained to me that the reason why in the Arab world the garden is so important is that because it has their strong connections to holiness within the Quran, as in how you treat the garden is incredibly important. And so this jardin secret is so beautiful. Anton, there's certain places. This dichotomy of the chaos, the red dust and the noise and the heat of the streets, and these like small wooden doors in the red brick walls, and you go in and it's a virtual oasis. You go in and it's gardens and water and beautiful and cool, and it's so relaxing, and it's everything you want out of a holiday.
What about food? I again, with my preconceived notions, I feel tagines and couscous.
Yeah, so I'll give you actually a good tip on a tagine, because I'm including myself, is that when you go to Morocco, everyone sells the tagine. So I'm going to bring home an actual Moroccan tagine. I'm going to make lamb with apricots, and I'm going to do it the Moroccan way because it's so good. You eat very, very well. You can eat really beautiful food. And it is. The tagine is the basis of all cooking. Slow cooking meats, particularly lamb, with all kinds of fruits. They drink a lot of sweet tea. So, yeah. It's like just black tea with lots of sugar. But there are two food tours, and I've done them both. So one called Tasting Marrakesh, so tastingmarrakesh.com, and the other one called Moroccan Food Adventures. And these are group tours that take you and really get to the heart of really great food. And then you'll come back and you'll make notes of the places you visit, and you'll go, I'm going to come back here again. And it's absolutely amazing. The other thing as well is the hammam, the traditional Arabic baths, is well worth going to. There's one in, so the Medina, which is the old town, is divided into different parts. The kind of nicer part for me is Mouassine, it's called. And it's kind of the northwest of Jemaa el Fna'a, and it's really beautiful. It's very elegant. It's got some really good restaurants. It's got some wonderful riads, but it also has the Hammam Mouassine, which is a public hammam, and it's really, really it's great. It's,
and can I ask you, is it one of those places that you go to actively tourist at?
Yes.
Or is there scope to say, I want to relax by a pool and take a day or two?
So you can stay in the Riad or go to your nice hotel, or you can go out into the Atlas Mountains and you can do all of those things. But Marrakesh is an intense experience, there's no doubt. And because it can be... Because as I said, like, you can walk around, and I don't want to over exaggerate the level to which people will come up to you asking you things, but there's a kind of a thrum of activity that doesn't ever stop. And if you're looking for that, I want to go sit by the pool and read my book holiday, maybe Marrakesh isn't the ideal place. I'm going to give you a quick one on the tagine, okay? So here's the thing. Buy a tagine. You can get one for 20 quid, okay? Now, the people come home and they go, oh, I bought a really crappy one because it cracked in the oven. It's like, no. Soak the base and lid in cold water overnight. Leave it to dry and then rub both parts with olive oil. So the base and then the lid. Bake in the oven at 150 degrees for 2 hours. No, just bear with me. Turn the oven off. But here's the trick. Leave the tagine inside to cool down and it'll be ready for use forever.
Alternatively, now, cast iron pot will probably get you through in a pinch.
No, Anton, the romance. You have to do it with the tagine.
Flights and transfers.
A Ryanair flight twice a week. Direct to Morocco from Dublin.
Morocco.
Yeah, it's a 20-minute taxi ride. As I said, get your Riad or hotel to book the taxi, otherwise you'll pay four times what you should be paying. One of the things, the other tip I'll say is carry change. Just carry change. It helps. It just helps negotiate. The other one is to look straight ahead. Don't look people in the eyes. And just say no and keep walking. And after a few seconds, people just go, oh, here, I'll go bother someone else. But generally speaking, I would always be of the mind is that you got to respect the traditions of the place. So,
and it's always hard not to give off the tourist. But it's like, you know, when you're walking through town and there's a certain jean and runner combination
Anton
that
Savage.
Says wealthy American.
And you could dress whatever way you want. You will never pass as someone from Marrakesh.
On that horrifying discovery, Fionn, thank you so much. That is Fionn Davenport, travel journalist and Lonely Planet author.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.